Lord, it's so true that we can sing a song that says how good you are, but then also in one of the verses say, if it brings suffering, well, I get that too. Help us to understand that, Lord. Help us to understand that we're in a spiritual battle for our lives, for our families' lives, and for our loved ones' lives. Help us to understand that there are big stakes here. Eternal life and eternal separation. Lord, thank you that you are a God who is good. Help us to understand that you have a plan for each of our lives and a plan to prosper us, a plan for good. And help us to understand that. And help us also understand that we're going to get come against. That when good things happen, they're going to be challenged by your adversary who wants us to turn away from you. Help us to stay strong. Help us to lock in to you. And help us to run in the power of your Spirit and in your truth, even when things don't make sense, and even when we're unhappy, even when we're not acting like we're supposed to, and even when we can't be where we want to be, help us to understand that you have a plan for all of it, and that you will ultimately bring good. Help us understand that, to get a better glimpse that you're a Father who loves us. We, each of us, are the apple of your eye, your favorite. And help us understand how a father would treat someone like that. And help us to bask in it. Now, Lord, help us to understand more and more who you are and who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Elder Robert, what's going on at Westbridge this week?
The worship and the band tonight, huh? And did you notice Hank is back on the guitar? Good to have you back, Hank. We're going to transition into continuing to worship as our ushers are going to come forward and receive tonight's offering. If you're visiting here tonight, I want to say welcome. Please do not feel obligated to give. This time is for those that call Westbridge their home and want to support what we do here, which is church on Saturday nights in a community that God has placed us. And it's a pleasure to serve. So please, just sit back and allow this service to be our gift to you. Now, if you're here and you're visiting, what a perfect night. There's no better night than tonight to be here, because you are now invited to join us tomorrow at noon. Every year, Westbridge culminates all the work that God has done in us, all the work that God has done through us, all the things that he has done without us, land in a pool at the Cooper home, where tomorrow we'll meet people who have been transformed because they've met Jesus. And they'll tell their story at our annual baptism and picnic. That's tomorrow. You want to be there by noon. If you want the address, see me after. I'll get you the address. It's really less than 10 minutes from here. So if you made it here, you can make it there. We're going to have food. We're going to have fun. We're going to have fellowship. And most importantly, we're going to celebrate what God has done in our life, through our life, and in the lives of those that will tell us their story in the pool. So please come. Please come. Bring a chair, and if you want to get into the pool, then bring your suit and a towel as well, and I'll see you there. As well, men, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to meet here. We're going to continue our study. Our men's group and ladies' group meet on Wednesday nights, and we alternate. So guys, we're up this week. One more chapter to go in our book, so join us 7 o'clock here. And then on Friday night is both our youth group at 7 o'clock, which is kind of ages 10 to 18, and our college and career group from about 18 up till around 30, and they meet at 9. So 7 o'clock for youth group, 9 o'clock college and career, both here. Lastly, Wednesday, September 5th, our ladies are going to forego ladies group that night, and they're going to host a spaghetti dinner. So if you're going to be here, we just want to have your name on a sign-up sheet so we kind of know how much food we're going to have. If you're going to bring some guests, write down the numbers. Invite someone to come to you, because you know when they come in these doors, we're going to love on them. We're going to make them feel welcome, because that's really kind of how Westbridge is. It's a family, and we want our family to continue to grow and have God show us wherever we want to be. Pastor Drew?
I cannot emphasize enough how important this weekend is. God has been really kind of just solidifying my heart, and I won't say he's making my heart heavy, but there's something going on where spiritual activity is going on like crazy, and I kind of knew it from last October when we started the Times 2 campaign that God had us start, and I knew baptism would be an important weekend, and just a lot of stuff going on. I can't invite you strong enough to tomorrow. I don't care if you signed up. You need to come. You need to be there tomorrow, because the stuff that I have read this past week from the people who I've talked to as candidates is going to blow you away. And it's the best sermon you will hear all week, all year long, is what they will say tomorrow in that pool. They outshine anything that's been done from this pulpit with just their truth and their sharing their hearts. So please, if you don't even know what it is, just come anyway. The baptism is going to be incredible, and you will see God move tomorrow. I guarantee it. I want to continue in our study tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about baptism as we go. Luke chapter 14 in your Bibles. You can turn to that on your iPads or on your phones. You're going to want to have that open as we continue this study. Dinner lessons, part two. Jesus is teaching some dinner lessons, and we'll talk about that more. Tonight we're going to hear about party invitation. Last week, Miss Kelly and I received a wonderful invitation. We were invited to attend the Pocono 500 Indy Car Race. Now, I have never seen any kind of car race other than drag racing, so I was stoked. My friend Jeff, who invited me to the race, also told me, it surprised me, that these were VIP tickets. Guess the Facebook Live, you know, it's probably working, getting a little bit of a name out there. Okay, at least with my mom and dad, they love it. So with these VIP tickets, it all includes some free swag. And so me and Miss Kelly were excited about getting some free swag. So we got our free T-shirts, we got our hats. He told us there would be earplugs that we got those. Even being able to sit in an Indy car if you fit in one. I fit on the wheel. And my buddy also told me that there would be celebrity meet and greet time. Yeah, and if that wasn't enough, full all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, I know what a good invitation looks like, and this was one of them. I even felt like I would be able to put up with the celebrity autograph meet and greet. I would probably put up with that because, you know, it's my best friend Jeff who once invited me here. And if I was part of the package, then I would handle it. So if someone came up to me and asked for an autograph, I would probably do it because that's part of the package. Well, as it turned out, people must have been told to leave us alone because nobody said anything to me as they walked through there. Until we get a little bit further, who do we run into? It turns out we were left alone, but all of a sudden, Lee Greenwood, the guy who sings God Bless the USA, well, he sees me and Miss Kelly, and obviously he's watching us on Facebook, so he wanted a picture with me and Miss Kelly, so there's me. So I obliged because Jeff said that was part of the package. So Lee got my picture, so I'm sure he's happy. Well, as tonight, as we continue our study of Luke chapter 14, we're going to see Jesus clarifying an invitation that God gives. And God's offer to us, well, it's an invitation that's way more overwhelming than cars going almost 250 miles an hour. God's invitation is more satisfying than any buffet you will ever eat. And God's invitation allows us to meet and know and live with the King and Creator of the universe. Now, as you will recall in Luke chapter 14, we studied it last week, Jesus has accepted an invitation to a dinner. And it's a dinner that's being given at a prominent Jewish leader's home. And at this dinner, Jesus winds up clarifying and straightening out several issues of spirituality that had gotten way off track. First, Jesus addresses the idea of the Sabbath day. And Jesus explains that how a God follower is supposed to live that out properly. What is it all about, and how is it to be lived out? Then Jesus goes on to clarify the attitude of self-centeredness and teaches us that being great is actually being considerate of others' needs instead of your own. Now, with that being said, at this dinner that just came out of Jesus' mouth, we're going to pick up in chapter 14, verse 12. So Jesus has just talked about how being great is being considerate of others. Verse 12. Then Jesus, turned to his host, turns to him, and says, "When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, and your rich neighbors, for they'll invite you back. And that will be your only reward." He said, "Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." We call this, gang, the old keeping company with the comfortable. Jesus has just taught us that we should consider other people's needs before our own needs. And right then, Jesus turns and looks at the person throwing the party, that Pharisee, and he says, "I'm not talking about just being considerate of your friends. I'm not talking about just being considerate of your loved ones. I'm talking about loving the uncomfortable, loving the tough ones, loving the difficult ones. I'm talking about loving the poor. I'm talking about loving the crippled," Jesus says. "Talking about loving the lame and the blind." You see, gang, we all fall into this trap. And the trap is this. It's easy to hang around with who it's easy to hang around with. We all know who to filter over to in groups, don't we? We filter over to those we will be comfortable to talk to, those that will be easy to be with. But gang, that goes right back to the point Jesus clarified last week. We can't think about our comfort and our needs. We need to think about the comfort and needs of others. Jesus tells the Pharisee host, "You should be partying with the outcasts. You should be partying with the lonely, the discouraged, the ones feeling unworthy." A soul is a soul. No matter how handicapped, whether they're mentally ill or they're off-putting to you, that's still a soul. Don't fall into the trap of only loving the easy to love. Don't just keep company with the comfortable. Not long ago, I was invited to attend an evangelistic outreach that was being done. A lot of work had been done preliminarily to get this group of people together. They were all going to have this central meeting location on a certain date. They asked me to come to help. I said, "I'm good at setting up chairs. I can put out cupcakes. I can do that kind of stuff, so I'll just be there to help, stay out of the way. But if you need any help," so they invited me to come. And months went into this, and eventually the night came when people were going to come. They were going to come and meet at this church, and I was there. I actually parked cars. I was outside parking cars. So I go inside. When I get inside, there was this one fella named Ross who had shown up, and right away they came to me and they said, "Oh, this guy, he's not all there. And he's being a problem already." I said, "Oh, okay, well, I'm parking cars." He says, "Well, no, you're done parking cars. We need you here to help. We want you to kind of be his buddy for the night." I said, "Ain't anybody comfortable that I can be buddy with?" He said, "You got Ross." So we sat down, and the guy who was going to speak, who ran the thing, he got in the front, and I sat next to Ross, and it wasn't two or three sentences in, Ross was contradicting the guy. That ain't how I read it. No, easy, buddy. Hold that thought for later. Calm him down. And I just did this for an hour and a half. For an hour and a half, I buddied up to Ross and took care of him like I was taking care of a little toddler. And it was some was kind of funny, some of it was rude, some of it was not on my part. I was just being nice. Well, as it turns out, the thing ended, and I got to still chaperone Ross. So now I'm walking around with Ross. What, you want a cupcake? I didn't put him out. I did the chairs and the cars. So I'm walking. I wind up talking to Ross, and before the night's over, I realized, you know what? I like Ross better than I like the guy who did the speaking. I understand Ross. He's a little, you know what I mean. But that was my job for the night. Being kind, being there for somebody who was not comfortable. Don't get me wrong, loving the difficult is not always easy. And it's not always comfortable, and it's not always successful. But easy, comfortable, and successful are not in the loving the difficult equation. They're not in that equation at all. Soldiers, as you attempt to break the habit of keeping company with the comfortable and instead invite the uncomfortable to your life and your party, here's the equation that you need to remember. Number one, we are responsible to try. Okay, that's the first part of the equation. We are responsible to try. Add to that, God is responsible for the results. And then remember this. Dividends are assured later. Gang, all Jesus is asking us to do in this equation of reaching beyond our comfort zone and keeping company with the uncomfortable, all Jesus is asking is for us to try. That means be inclusive of everyone. That means be kind, even if others aren't kind back to you. Be generous with your heart and with what you have. And be available to the discomfort. When I was nice to Ross, I simply listened to him. I simply talked to him. God did not ask me to take responsibility for Ross's life. God simply asked me to share a cupcake with the man and to be kind to him. Gang, we must fight the impulse to avoid the uncomfortable. And instead, we should extend a hand of kindness and inclusion to them. It's not about us feeling comfortable. It's about making them feel comfortable. And as for the results, as for the change in people, as for the outcome of our loving, we have nothing to do with that. Nothing. That's God's side of the yoke that he pulls. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus tells us this. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you stay joined with me and I stay joined with you, then you will produce lots of fruit. But you cannot do anything without me. What this means is that I can stand up here for 16 years in front of you and I can try my best to explain God's gift to you. And if anyone responds, and anyone turns from their old life, and if anyone embraces Jesus' forgiveness, I did not cause that to happen. Only God can make spiritual magic happen. Only God can produce results. Apart from me, you could do nothing. We are just ushering people to Jesus, and he causes things to happen. But rest assured, our loving of the uncomfortable, all the graciousness is seen, and it is noticed, and it will absolutely be rewarded by God. Loving the uncomfortable, gang, is a win for the outsider. It is a win for the kingdom of God. And it is a win for the soldier who receives reward straight from the throne of God. Loving just our comfortable friends, well, that's a lose, lose, lose for all three. For the outsider, for the kingdom of heaven, and for the soldier. Jesus said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Now, verse 15, here's what happens. Hearing this, a man, we're going to call him the shouting out man, okay? A man sitting at a table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Okay, what happens here is very important. That shout out is very important. Jesus is teaching. He is sharing truth with religious experts and perhaps religious seekers. And they're wowed. You can't help but be wowed by Jesus. They're wowed by his enlightenment of the scriptures and his freeing truth that he is giving. So this guy, the shout out guy, he yells at the dinner that he's enjoying the whole experience. He yells out basically this. This is incredible. And just think how much more incredible it will be when we do this same thing in heaven. And it's that statement that Jesus will teach out of for the rest of the chapter. Jesus will address this man's assumption that he's going to heaven. And Jesus will address people's excuses for not coming to his party or his kingdom. First, the assumption. People will miss the kingdom of heaven because of wrong assumptions. This yelling out man is making the assumption that he is qualified and he is good enough to go to heaven because he is a Jew. Why do we know that? Well, because a Pharisee would never allow a non-Jew in his house. This man may even be a Pharisee for all we know, maybe a religious leader. So Jesus makes this huge clarification here, and Jesus does this by telling a story. He responds to this guy thinking he's going to be in heaven with a story. Jesus replied with this story, verse 16. He says, a man, you can read God there, God prepared a great feast, and he sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests. Israel are his guests. He told them, come, the banquet is ready. He says, but they all began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field, and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen, and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Okay, Jesus tells these religious leaders that God first invited Israel to the party. That's God's kingdom, the party. The offer is forgiveness of sins through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. But Israel, and especially the Jewish leaders, were not embracing Jesus. They did not believe in him, and they were ultimately going to have Jesus killed. John chapter 1, verse 11 tells us, Jesus came to his own. Now, Jesus was a Jew. He went to the Jews, and his own did not receive him. See, the assumption that Jesus wants to correct is that you don't get right with God by being born into a religion. Jesus wants to correct the assumption that you do not get eternal life by inheriting it from your parents. Your parents can't get it for you. Jesus wants to correct the assumption that you don't get right with God by living a certain set of religious rules. All those wrong assumptions are anchors that keep you mired away and locked away from the one thing you need, and that is Jesus. Yet all these things are keeping Israel and others away from attending God's Jesus party. I've got religion. I'm good. Jesus says, no, you're not. It's keeping you away from me, your religion. I grew up good. My parents even took care of all my sacraments for me. They did it for me. Well, your goodness, your parents can't make right for you. In fact, that keeps many away from Jesus, God's Jesus party. You, every single individual, you have to decide to come to God's Jesus party for yourself. Your religion, your ethnicity, your goodness, your heritage cannot and will not remove your sins. If those could, Jesus would never have had to go to the cross. The shouting man at the party, what a blessing it will be to attend the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus responds, not so fast. Don't assume you will be there unless you have attended God's Jesus party. The party where you admit your sins. The party where you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and offers forgiveness. The party where you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus clarifies the assumption and lets us all know the only way to God's banquet table in heaven is by getting up and going to Jesus. But Jesus didn't stop there. He continues to clarify. Here's the next point. People will miss the kingdom of heaven because of distracting excuses. Jesus then addresses those who have excuses for not attending his party. Excuse number one, I bought property. After all, I gotta take care of my living arrangements. Jesus' party and whatever Jesus wants, we'll just have to wait. Excuse two, I bought some livestock. Come on, this is my profession. I gotta make money to live on. Jesus' party is just not at the right time with my work schedule. Excuse number three that Jesus points to. I'm getting married. I found love. And love trumps any kind of together with Jesus. My residence, my work, my love. Good things, right? They're good things. Well, friends, they can be used by our enemy. All those things can be used to bring bad about in our life if we let them distract us from Jesus and the work he has for us. Jesus calls those three things, residence, work, love, these three things, he calls them all out, and he clarifies them as, these can be distractions and excuses to keep you from what I have for you. Here God is throwing a party, inviting you and me. He is inviting us to get to know him. He is inviting us into his family and into his care. He is inviting us into his protection and his provision. He is inviting us into his healing and his understanding. He is inviting us into a powerful relationship with him, and he is inviting us to work with him. And people say, maybe next time. I got to keep a roof over my family's head, you know. People say, maybe later. I got to go make some coin. People say, maybe tomorrow. My heart's just very occupied somewhere else right now. And gang, what many have experienced with excuses is that those excuses just keep leading you further and further away from God's party. Gang, with God, the pathway to a better life is staring us right in the face. With God, the greatest gift you can ever receive is sitting in your lap waiting to be unwrapped. With God, the invitation to his party has arrived at your door. God sent Jesus to Israel, his chosen people, but when they RSVP'd, they marked zero will attend. And that's when God does what no one thought was possible. And it still seems too good to be true. God opens the party up to everyone. He opens his home. God opens his heart. He opens his world up to everyone. Verse 21, the servant returned after all the excuses, and he told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes, behind the hedges, and urge everyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. Friends, God sends the invitation to his party to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Basically, all the have-nots in the world. Why? Because God desires the have-nots. God desires the, I don't have any money. God desires the, I don't have a decent career. He desires the, I don't have a whole body. I don't have a right mind. So, to all the have-nots in the world, Jesus says, the King of the universe wants you at his party, and he sent me to invite you personally. And that first invite was not enough for God. There was still room. The ballroom of the party was filled with have-nots, but God sends his messenger out again to get the ones that are hiding. Go into the country lanes, he says, and behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Now, Bible students, hedges in Israel were used as fences. They used them as they served as walls to your property. And you could hide behind your hedge walls. You could live secluded. You could live cordoned off. God invites those people specifically to come out of their reclusive world. Come out of your comfortable seclusion. Come out of your half life and live life to the full. You see, God seeks those behind the hedges. God knows. No matter how fruitless and how unfulfilling someone's property or their life is, if it's comfortably hidden behind a hedge wall, people will settle into it, and they will resolve themselves to stay right there in that. And God says, go, get the ones behind the hedges. Hand them an invitation to my Jesus party. Get the ones that are scared. Those who are willing to take what life has given them and invite them to my banquet, a banquet that's beyond belief, beyond what could ever be hoped for or dreamed of. Gang, Israel's excuse, all those excuses were focused on, I'm too busy, I'm too caught up with what I have. Too worried about that to worry about Jesus. But this second group that's invited have a different reluctance. Their excuse is, who would want me? I don't have anything appropriate to wear. I'm common. I'm unbecoming. I'm undesirable. I'm unimportant. I hide behind this hedge because I'm safe here with my fears. I hide behind this hedge with my regrets, and I hide back here with my insecurities. These are the ones that God sends his messenger out specifically to go get. And for 2,000 years, they have come. They have accepted God's invitation. And when they've gone to the Jesus party, they have found freedom. They have found acceptance. They have found purpose in their life, and they have found fulfillment. But they had to come out from behind the hedges, and they had to walk into God's ballroom. Jesus' parable of God's Jesus party makes it clear everyone gets an invitation to the party. Everyone. The question tonight, and what's on the bottom of your outline, is what have you marked on your party invitation? God's inviting you to forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins through the work that Jesus did on the cross. He is inviting you into a relationship with him where he walks with you every day. He guides you and enlightens you on what's going on and what you should do in a world that's very, very confusing. He's inviting you into his family of former hedge hiders, his family of have-nots, and even his family of haves. I am very excited about tomorrow's baptism and the invitation God has sent. But I believe he is still waiting for an RSVP, whether it be to accept his gift of salvation or whether it be to tell the world tomorrow that you are a Christ follower. It's not too late. It's not too late. If you have or right now want to say yes to Jesus' gift of salvation, you can do that in your hearts right now. You simply say yes. Yes, I've made mistakes. I've sinned. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And yes, that's where I'm placing my faith, and I'm not afraid to say it. As the band returns, the worship leaders come back. I want you to think about where you're at in this process. Are you at a place where you need to say yes to the party and go see Jesus? Or has it just been a lot of excuses? A lot of excuses why I'm just not available to you, Jesus. I'm just not available for all those things, from salvation to serving you. I just have excuses. Well, I would encourage you tonight, put the excuses aside. We have a good God who has plans for us, each and every one of us, your own separate epic story to be written. And if it's your turn to tell your epic story tomorrow, come see me after the service. Come down here, talk to me. Say, it's time for me to say it. It's time for me to say to the world, I have accepted Jesus Christ. I am living for him. And if you're just at a point where you want to start that relationship, come see me as well. Would you stand as we close our service talking to God through song? And Lord, we believe that. That's our heart cry. Nothing comes close to you. Lord, it's very easy to talk to people who have followed you for years and hear them say they don't know where they would have been without you. But it all started with one step. It was a mark on an invitation card that said, "One will attend." They brought that invitation card, they walked into your banquet, and they met Jesus. Thank you for doing that in my life, and I pray that you would keep going, keep finding the lost and bringing them to you. And then through the power of your Spirit, give them the courage to stand up and say, "No way, I am not ashamed of the gospel or Jesus' name." Now, Lord, we leave this in your hands. Thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow. And we count on your Spirit to do the rest. We have tried. Thank you, Jesus.